It's the Max Show. Yes, Ewan's still away. He's working, moving away somewhere, so he's asked me to move from the guest seat to the host seat. And I must say, this seat's a lot more comfier than the ones us guests get. I think it's deplorable. Oh, well. Anyway,
come on, Carl, just tell the truth. We pulled an Egypt on you and we've taken over BTN and he's out.
He must know that. He doesn't know that. He won't know that till he gets back. Shush. As you heard, I'm joined by a wonderful collection of guests this week, and it's all Americans. I'm the only Brit here on the British Tech Network. I'm
so
flying the flag.
This is a secondary coup.
It's the secondary coup.
Not only have we ousted Ewan, but now, like, all the Americans are coming.
Wow.
It's like 1776 all over again.
Yes.
Right, here we go. Okay, so joining me today, we have Adam Christensen from Maccast. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm hot. We've got a heat wave in this country at the moment, which is very unusual for England. So I'm sitting here sweltering. If you hear kids in the garden outside, I can't do anything about that because I need the windows open, otherwise I'll die.
You just pass out.
Indeed. I'm also joining us.
Can they make it to room temperature over there?
No. Also joining us, we have Kelly Gamont. How are you doing, Mrs.?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Now, you was on the big show with me last night. But now you can just let rip with the Apple comments. You don't have to hold them back.
Yeah, last night. It's been forever. How are things?
Fine, thank you. And rounding out our panel, we have all the way down there in the Philippines, Mr. Kyle Swagger. How are you, sir?
Hello, Carl. I'm well. I'm well and at the bottom of one right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Even that was submarine.
Yeah, it's a yellow one, too. Sorry, I had to throw it. We've got to make this as British as possible, so we got to throw in a yellow submarine there, don't we?
See, Don's not with us, so we can't do lots of Beatle references and stuff. So. Darn it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Little Puddy and Don.
We got some news this week, which is quite nice. So the first
How did that
happen? We'll see. First one up is Apple appears to be about to get a nasty little rap on the knuckles for being naughty. They'll be sent to bed early on a spanked bottom. So it appears they've been accused and convicted virtually at the moment anyway of fixing prices. So my understanding of this story is back in the day, Amazon decided that they'd start selling all their bestseller books for £9.99. Pounds or dollars, I'm not sure one. But £9.99, and then iBooks come along a few years later, and Apple wanted to break that monopoly of Amazon. So they said to the various book publishers, look, come with us, you put your books into the iBook store, but we'll do an agency model, which means you fix your books prices at whatever you want, be it $11.99, $12.99, $15.99. But you cannot sell, this is the problem bit I think they run into, you cannot sell your books anywhere else cheaper than what you currently sell them on the iTunes, iBook store.
Right.
And that seems to be, to me, why they've got into trouble over this. And if that's the case, that is pretty poor.
Poor that they're in trouble or poor that they did that?
Well, I think, for us consumers, it's poor for us consumers that they did that in the first place, I think. But anyone disagree?
It's poor they got caught.
Yeah, poor for them. Well, here's the thing is that I've seen, and I'm not, all the standard disclaimers, I'm not a person who is involved in all of this or anything, but I have noticed, I know it seems to me that this was a thing that Amazon was doing at one point, that like if you had a Kindle edition, you couldn't have another edition, like another sort of digital edition, like you couldn't sell the PDF on your website or that sort of thing. And for some reason, and again, you know, it just could be because this is back when I was drinking. Maybe it's just that for some reason, I want to say that's why you couldn't get O'Reilly books from Amazon for a long time digitally, was because they wanted to sell their own PDFs and Amazon didn't like that for the Kindle edition, and so they like put the kibosh on it, as the kids say. And I want to say that that was a thing, but I have noticed lately that if I go to buy the Kindle edition, that because I have a Kindle, that sometimes it's more expensive for the digital copy than it is for a new hardback. Now, like, I could see new paperback and digital edition being a similar price, but for a new hardcover to be $3 less than what a digital edition is, when you don't have to pay to ship it to me, you don't have to pay to store, you know, for physical warehouse space to store that big old book, whatever, I find that very confusing. So it seems to me that the agency model, which is the thing that they keep talking about in this trial, may not be the best idea, but it's also not uncommon because it's a model. We've already determined that this is a thing that has been an established practice for a long time.
Haven't we been dealing with this though for years with when it comes to music? I mean, how many times have I went on iTunes? I mean, we were talking about Beatle references a while ago before we pressed the record button, but you can go on iTunes right now and get a Beatles album for $14.99, $12.99, $14.99. Well, I seen one the other day in the store. Well, over here it's, you know, around $10. I mean, we're pesos, but still it's cheaper for the hard copy version. It just seems to me that the music industry, the publishing industry, that I just don't get where they're come from, where you're trying to sell me something that I have to keep on my hard drive that takes up something that I have to store your copy at all.
Wow. You're breaking up a bit there, Carl, but yeah. I think we understood roughly what you were saying. Thing is, one thing I don't understand is back in the day when Amazon decided to set their book prices at $9.99, I mean, surely the book companies could have just said, well, yeah, okay, you can sell it whatever price you want, but you're still paying us the price that we're charging you. So was that the case? That's the bit I don't understand about this story. I don't understand what made the book companies so afraid in the first place.
I don't get it either. And that's the thing that I feel like there's a really important piece of this that maybe has been sealed by the court that I'm missing somehow, because I keep reading a few different articles here and there about what's happening and what's the latest. And I always feel like I missed a step, like someplace all of this is explained so that it makes a lot of sense to me and I can't find it.
No, I'm suffering from the same issue.
I think I'm not following this really closely because I kind of don't like these kinds of stories. They just bother me. It's like Apple's in trouble again, or lawsuits I don't follow too closely. I wish Jeff Gamet was here because I think he's kind of on top of it. But I mean, I think in essence, the publishers kind of, because Amazon had such a lock on this stuff, felt beholden to agree to Amazon's pricing. And again, Apple was trying to, and I think they were suffering for it. I think they were having some trouble making the kinds of profits that they wanted to. Now we can argue all day about how much profit they need to make or not make. You know, I don't work in that field, but I know a lot of people who are authors, and I know it's a tough row to hoe when you're selling books. You know, you're on that side of it. So any way they can make more money, I think, is a good thing. I have the same dilemma with the App Store too, and the whole race to the bottom kind of pricing. So I'm a bit conflicted on this because as a consumer, yeah, I want the cheapest price I can get, but at the same time, the system has to work too. But then you have the flip side of it. It's the system is sort of broken, as we've kind of been mentioning too. It's like, how much money do you have to make, and who has their hand in the pot, and can't we do this more direct? And so I think you're right, Kelly. I think there's like larger issues even outside of, you know, maybe some of the stuff that's in the court documents or what went on between Apple and the book publishers. I mean, so I see it from all sides. I can see how the publishers would want to change the model. I could see how Apple would want to change the model to break up Amazon's monopoly. Now the question is, you know, did they go about it in a way that they shouldn't have, which a judge has now said, yes, they did. So I don't know. Is that confusing enough? Because I'm totally ambivalent and confused about the whole thing. But I guess I see both sides of it, and that's why I'm so conflicted about it, because there's arguments to be made either way that I see as sort of valid. But overall, I think, you know, publishers or writers, or even if you're selling direct, you should have the ability to sell your book for whatever you want to freaking sell it for. So I'm totally with Apple on that one. And, you know, just because Amazon's huge and that's the only place people are buying ebooks, that shouldn't have to lock you into saying, okay, well, I'll sell it for less than I really want to because you're Amazon.
It, It's a very weird story. And it's not going to end here, of course, because Apple are going to, like, appeal the judgment. And they still there is a worry for them, for some people anyway, that they're going to be hit with an enormous fine. Now, I don't know how enormous a fine has to be for it to even impact on Apple, but I don't know if it would be that big.
$100 billion?
The largest fine that anyone ever levied in a case like this is still going to be considered couch money by Apple. Which is, you know, when you shake the cushions of the couch and get the change out, it's that kind of thing.
And that may be the whole thing, right? Is that no matter what's going to happen, you know, maybe Apple did do this brazenly because they're like, okay, what's the worst that can happen? We're gonna have to pay $2 million, and we get what we want anyway. And it's shocking because a lot of people don't like to think about Apple operating like that. But I talk about this on my show quite frequently. It's like we have to remember Apple's still giant U.S. corporation, and U.S. corporations do this, even though we like to think of them as better than everybody else and doing stuff above board. But, you know, there's shady business shenanigans going on all the time. So it shouldn't be shocking.
Profit is still for profit. Like, just because Apple makes stuff that a lot of people like does not make Apple a charity. I think that sometimes gets lost in all of it, particularly when they put out these new ads about, you know, we want to make sure it's the most awesome thing that it can be before we build it and blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever it is they say in those ads.
Right.
Like, whenever they get to that stuff, you know, people and everybody wants to like Apple. Everybody, you know, I mean, Uncle Tim and his southern accent, like, he's so very friendly and everything. But, you know, people sometimes, I think, lose sight of Apple being for profit. And sometimes they will make a cutthroat move. And maybe this is just one of those that's been
publicized. Or an illegal move and get caught.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, they've done stuff. They've done other stuff, like, in the past that has been, like, wow, that's cold, you know. But they're for profit, you know. This is how they make almost all the money every time we get a quarterly earnings call. And we know they don't make all the money, or analysts would be quiet about it. And I wouldn't have enough. And I wouldn't be on Angry Mac Bastards.
They would not be quiet about it if they made all the money. They'd still want more money. You know it's true.
Are we still talking about the same thing since my Skype after I had if you want to update Skype for a better experience and go ahead and update it, what a bunch of crap.
See, my thing when it comes to books is both iBookstore and the Kindle store are just full of DRM. So get rid of the DRM and then let us, the market, decide what we want to pay for the books and what device we want to read the darn things on as well. That would be nice.
That's why I buy all my O'Reilly books as the apps, which are cheaper than the actual eBooks. And also O'Reilly has these great instructions on their website how to extract the un-DRM'd ebook file from the app package. So you can just take that once you've extracted it and put it in the iBookstore. And they're totally cool with it. They publish the instructions on their website. It gets a little geeky. You gotta get into the terminal sometimes to do it. But, you know, there's like scripts and things you can find for people. So they're cool. Awesome. They get it. Yeah.
But I don't...
Go on, Carl.
Oh, I was going to say, one thing that I heard you say, Carl, so they take off the DRM so we could read it on anything. That's something that will never fly with Apple.
Well, it took it off iTunes. I was going to say,
they'll sell you an MP3 now.
It would fly with Apple. It doesn't fly with the book publishers.
That's the problem. Same with TV shows, films. The licensees want the DRM. They think it's a bonus to them, but it's a hindrance to the customer. And so that's a negative.
Old dudes in suits.
Exactly.
Well,
aren't we still seeing though things like as far as
we'll never know.
As far as nothing.
Oh dear. Well, hopefully we'll come back soon. Moving on. It seems we had a birthday this week. The App Store turned 5 years old. No one sing a song, because otherwise we have to pay the license fee for that.
No, there's another one that you can sing.
You sure?
I'm positive, because he even put it on his website and said, you can sing this anytime, anywhere you want, because that way you don't have to sing that ridiculous birthday song that they sing in restaurants.
Right. I'm still not going to risk it.
He really did? Okay.
Just in case. Yeah, okay. So apparently now, The App Store is downloading around 800 apps every single second from when it started out.
Now, and there are 900,000 in the store.
Wow.
By the way, I had to look this up recently. So.
But 90% are zombies, right?
Well, yes, that's the story I saw in the BBC as well. So it kind of actually someone posted it in our Google community as well, whose name completely escapes me. Sorry if I've forgotten your name. But I looked into that, and the people they were quoting don't seem to mention that story anywhere else. It says the BBC has had a look at this, those figures, but then I can't find that story anywhere else. It's weird. But I'm sure there are a load of zombie apps in the App Store. I mean, let's face it. Look at how many apps are out there now and how many have just been forgotten and how many fart apps there were and flashlight apps there were. There's going to be loads that are not, you know, used. And there's going to be apps that came along to replace older apps and advance them on. And I don't know.
Define zombie apps for people playing along at home.
Zombie apps apparently is something that's not downloaded ever.
I think they broadened it. That was the original definition. And this piece, I think, came out of PC Magazine, if I'm not mistaken, and the BBC, maybe CNBC. I can't remember exactly. But they broadened the definition to kind of include stuff that's never been sort of featured or shown up on a list. I think the original true definition was like apps that have never had a download or just been downloaded like by the developer and basically their family. I don't know what the cutoff is, but I think they broadened it a little bit to be one that's, you know, never been in any of the lists.
The thing with apps, when I used to do the show App Chat, the thing that all the developers virtually said to me is it's really hard because you've got to do your own marketing. You have to make people aware. But they were saying, like, don't be illuded that you just build an app, add it to the iTunes store, and you'll become a millionaire overnight. You have to go out. You have to constantly ring that bell, advertising your app, and make sure everybody knows it. And the day you stop doing that, the day it will slide down into oblivion. It's hard work. Most people don't know. I mean, most people know maybe how to code an app, but not necessarily how to promote it, unfortunately.
It's two different sides of your brain. Adam and I can probably go on about this at some length, but it tends to be two different sides of your brain. Like people who are really good at programming and can stick their head into their monitor and come out 16 hours later and have made some sort of significant progress are absolutely foreign to me. I am a cheerleader, so I am the one that you want to talk to. I will look at your app, and if your app is awesome, I will go on a show like this and make it a pick. I will go tell Adam, and I'll tell Jeff Gamet, and I'll tell anybody else that I know that you should really go get this app because it's really awesome for one reason or another. I'll tell my friends, anybody that wants to see my phone, and everybody goes, what you got on your phone? And I go, you should see this one because it's awesome.
Do they say, what the app is that? See, Adam, I've been listening.
What the app is that? Yeah, that was my new segment I did. I was at Nerdtacular, which is this great conference for listeners and fans of the Nerdtacular podcast network, which is run by Scott Johnson, gaming and technology kind of network that's rocking. So you should check that out. And when I was there, I had this idea because this exact problem, right? App discovery. How do you figure out what apps are? And I thought, oh, well, there's going to be a bunch of people there with iOS devices. It would be cool if I just grabbed their phone or their iPad, took a look at it, saw something on there that I didn't know what it was and just went, what the app is that? And asked them to tell me what it was and why it was on their device and why they thought it was cool. So, yeah.
Carl, you back with us yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. Yeah.
Now that I know that exists, that's what I'm going to spend the rest of my afternoon listening to, the rest of my day. What the app is that? Because that's awesome. And like people have really tried to crack the discovery nut for a long time. And this is just sort of an object example of a problem that a lot of people have. Now, on the flip side, it could just be that you have a really niche app. Maybe the app that you've released is an app for a very specific knitting pattern.
Like, seriously,
it could be. not just to track the patterns that you have or anything like that. I'm giving myself app ideas someday. I'm gonna have to build one. like, seriously, my bag of yarn is right here, and that's the only reason that that's what came into my head. But suppose I had an app for a pattern that I had designed, and I go and I release it, and it's a dollar or whatever. Like, everyone I know who knits will go and download it, but that's not a ton of people, and I'm not going to go retire to my own personal island, you know, on that money. I know that. And some people have apps like that that are a very, very specific thing that aren't necessarily a specific need that lots of people have. So I don't know that zombie app is necessarily the definition I would use. I think the ones that would concern me more are things that, like, haven't been updated for iOS 6 or iOS 7. And then those things eventually, like, they don't fall out of the store. No. They sometimes, I think, get pushed down in the rankings, but it's not like they're gone. And I think that's part of the 900,000 number that people are excited to be quoting is, you know, there's a whole stack of those that are things somebody developed in like 2011 and have given up on.
So like orphaned apps.
That's it. Like,
yeah.
So Kyle, I mean, how many apps in your phone or pad have you got that if you do that purchased in the past selection that you've installed once, played with it for 5 minutes and got rid of it again?
Let's see. I'm going to think of one that I purchased recently. I think it was, let me look here. I think, what is it? Living Earth, I think is what it's called. Yeah, mm-hmm. Living Earth. I thought, beautiful app, looked great. Did the weather, you know, there's the globe. Goes round and round, goes round and round, goes round and round. Okay, that's enough. Thanks.
Wow.
We all have those though, right? I mean, there's a ton of those. And I think this group is probably not the best group to ask because we're probably a little more guilty of doing that sort of thing because I have no like filter. It's like, oh, it's pretty shiny. Let me try that.
Yeah, for about 30 minutes. And then we move on to the next shiny thing. That's just the nature of our – that's the thing. And chances are the same exact thing goes on in the Google stores and probably the Windows stores as well. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, not probably.
This isn't necessarily an Apple problem. This is an app problem, and problem is probably too broad of a term because, as Kelly was pointing out, it depends on the developer and their agenda. But one thing that you know, I really think is this is really up to the developer. This is if your app is a quote unquote zombie app, and however we want to define that, you know, we can define that, but. Just say you accept, okay, I have a zombie app. And if that's a problem for you, then that is your problem, meaning that you need to get up to speed on marketing and figure out how can I get more exposure. And there's tons of ways you can do that, whether it's hiring a PR agency, figuring out how to do your own PR, getting better at, you know, graphics, at throwing ads places, you know, whatever that strategy ends up being, you have to sort of figure that out. Mm-hmm. And I know that's really hard for developers because, you know, we sit there and we code all day. That's all we're really interested in doing. And if you're a one-man show doing this on nights and weekends, you know, the last thing you want to deal with is figuring out marketing. And so everybody wants Apple to sort of do that for them. But at the same time, that's not Apple's job. Right. It's not Apple's job to make sure that you get featured in the store. It's not Apple's job to make sure that people know about your app. So but some developers really feel that way, like Apple owes them some sort of, you know, responsibility to when they put a new app out on the App Store, tell everybody about it. It's just not going to happen. So like I'm in an iOS development group and the guy who founded it on a really cool principle. He calls it ICAM. It stands for ideas. Coding, what's the A stand for? Art and marketing. And it's basically those four pillars. If you're doing app development, you have to have all of those four things to do a successful app. So you can't just have the idea. You have to know how to code it. You can't just know how to code it. You have to have good art and design in your app. Otherwise, people are just going to dismiss it. And you have to have marketing. And the idea is to bring all those disciplines together, you know, bring those people to coders that you can network so you can find all that stuff so you can actually have your best chance of getting your app discovered. And I think too many developers just think, oh, all I have to do is program this really cool thing. It's a great idea and I know how to code it. But if it looks like junk and you don't know how to market it, it's never going anywhere. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing.
It's like the garage band, you know, on the corner. Dude, we're playing Friday night in our garage.
Right.
And we're really cool. And you should come totally check awesome. Us out.
Best band ever, but
it's the same with podcasts though. I mean all of us here do podcasts obviously, and there's Apple gives you no support. I mean no reason for it to either. You do your, in fact, with podcasts, it's even worse because you have to host your own podcast. They don't, it's not on their servers anywhere. A lot of people don't know that, I don't think.
Yeah, no, right. No, I don't think so either. I mean, that's the thing too, is with the people always say, oh, Apple, you should help me. Actually, we're the ones helping Apple.
Well, yes. Yeah. We're giving them content that they can use to drive purchases of their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, so it's really up to us to figure that out, and you know, people shouldn't be. So it's not surprising because there's this whole build it. You know, if I build it, they will come mentality that the apps have for some reason, and you know, a lot of people are rolling a dice and hoping to get lucky, and that happens too. I mean, you might just throw it out there, and somebody finds it, some celebrity, and boom, mm-hmm. it takes off. But I mean, that's really that's crapshoot. You might as well go to Vegas and you know, put all your money on the roulette table, and you're doing the same thing.
Exactly. So. Well, yes. You got more chance of winning that one, I think.
Probably. Yeah, there might be better odds at this point.
Can we remember what our first purchases were?
Yes. I had to look them up for Tua, and that's the only reason that I know what they were. I downloaded the first app I ever downloaded on my phone, which I got like 5 years ago, four years ago yesterday. The 3G. The first app I downloaded was a lightsaber app. And when you touch the button, it would light up a lightsaber up the middle of your screen.
Remember
and then as you hit your phone, like you could tap your phone against your hand and it would go and the rest of the time, you know, it would go. And then when you waved your phone around, it would go. It was awesome.
That's one of those it lasted for 30 minute things.
No, it's still on my phone. I love it.
Oh, cool.
I still have that app.
It's a very good app to hand to a small person who needs to be entertained. And then the other one that really entertained me was More Cowbell.
Oh, that's which a new one on me.
You launch it, and it's a picture of a cowbell, and you tap it, and it goes bonk, like a cowbell. And then after you tap it 10 times in a row, it goes, I gotta have more cowbell. And that's all it does.
Was Apple's remote app out day one?
I think
that might have been the first,
one. That was one I picked up as well.
I have the lightsaber one as well. That was one of my early ones. And I think NetNewsWire. Sorry.
Sensible ones.
I have Shazam and Evernote. Were two of the others that were on my early purchase list. And the problem is, like, a couple of the other ones that I really liked, I can't find anymore. Like, they don't exist anymore. They don't exist anymore, and I've gotten a new machine since then, so I don't have access even to go put that old app on my phone still, which is kind of a bummer. Okay. But
I have Bubbles and Jared also, which I know Jared was on your list.
Jared was on my list, yes. Oh,
see, I got my iPhone after the App Store, you know, was in existence. But I still remember one of my first apps was iBeer, where you tap it and fill up with beer, and you tilt it, and it looked like you was drinking it.
And you would slide them across the bar.
No matter how many I had, I didn't get drunk though.
You know, what's funny about this is we're talking about 5 years of the App Store, and I can remember actually, maybe it was 6 months before the App Store started when everybody was jailbreaking their phones to get apps on there. I mean, that was my first experience with like, whoa, this is something that here's what the iPhone could really be. And I always feel that that's what the App Store turned into, is what jailbreakers were already doing. And the first thing I remember installing on there was an app called Tweetings. Twinkle is what it was. And it was a Twitter client. And I think probably my first actual app purchase, you know, it's funny, is I want to say that my first actual purchase might have been Angry Birds. Wow. So I just got into the free apps. Yeah, I just got into the free apps. I just like, I didn't really care. I didn't see the point of it. And then when I started having interactions, you know, when I got Apple TV, and it seems like the apps for me personally, the ones that you can, you know, put to your Apple TV, like games and video content and this kind of stuff that you can AirPlay, that you can do more than just, you know, drink a beer with on your phone. Those seems to be the ones that can that hold up for me. Those are the ones I keep coming back to.
Well, I'm sure it's going to get even bigger. We're sure whenever the next event is, we're going to hear about another milestone set, because it just keeps going up and up and up. But that's what you expect, I guess.
You don't want to go back and look at your list of downloaded apps. I'll tell you that, because I'm looking through here now and going, what the?
Exactly.
I have LOL Cats. Why did I download that?
And why would you admit it? Whatever it is.
No idea.
Apparently yesterday, Google chairman Eric Schmidt said his company's relationship with Apple has improved over the past year, noting that executives have been holding lots and lots of talks to discuss the number of issues. Now, we all know they didn't get on. Steve Jobs and Google didn't get on because he thought Android had stole ideas from the iPhone, rightly or wrongly. Fair enough. So he declared thermonuclear war, was it, on Google?
Yes.
But he also told...
war against them.
Yes. He also told Tim Cook that run Apple your way. So perhaps Tim Cook is looking at this war and saying this is really not worth it. Because I think as users, we're losing out a lot on the Google, Apple, you know, war, so to speak, because they don't always play nice. Although I have to say, a number of the Google apps that used to be like default on the devices are much better now they've come out, such as YouTube and Maps. I feel they're much better now as separate devices, but they don't have the full extent because they don't get the reach into the iOS as, you know, some of us would like.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know. Honestly, I like the apps better now as far as what you're saying, as far as than independently, instead of they were hard, you know, written into the operating system. But at the same time, if you're sitting here asking me, do I think it's good that everybody's lovey-dovey with Google and they're lovey-dovey with Apple, I miss the thermonuclear war. I miss the shall we play a game? I miss that. You know, it's I'd like that sort of in the tech world. And I think that's what's missing at Apple right now. It just seems like Tim Cook seems to want to go around and go, I'm sorry. But don't be sorry. Innovate. And that's what I miss about Steve, actually, since he's been gone.
Kelly, any thoughts?
Well, when they do innovate, everybody bitches about it. So, like,
they bitch
they can't
when they
win
don't
for losing.
Innovate.
I mean, oh, it's going to. iOS 6 is boring. iOS 6 is stupid. iOS 6 is ugly. iOS 6 is old. Okay, here's iOS 7, and it's new, and it's shiny, and it's beautiful. iOS 7 is terrible. iOS 7 is flat. iOS 7 is stupid. At least we made a choice.
You left out doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've downloaded a beta.
Because it's finished. Yes. We're
I've downloaded a beta and it doesn't work. Apple are useless.
While we're talking about Google, Google has warped people's expectations of what a beta actually is because they left Gmail in beta for like 15 years. And no. That's
I would
not
say
what
it actually, I wish they'd go back to beta with Gmail. It worked better.
I know, it did, didn't it? But the problem is that when you have somebody like that goes, oh, we're going to still call it beta. Oh, haha, aren't we cute? No, you're not, because you've set people's expectations. Some people, the only beta they ever ran was Gmail when it was beta, and they didn't even realize it was beta at the time. So now, these are the people that go, oh, well, iOS 7 is a beta. The only beta I ever ran was Gmail, and it was pretty awesome, so I'm going to put this on my phone. What do you mean it restarts itself every minute and a half? Shenanigans! Well, no, that's a beta!
Not only am I going to put this on my phone, I'm going to put this on my phone and I'm not a developer and the beta is only supposed to be available to developers
that's
for a specific
people.
Reason.
Yeah,
right?
Not developers, like people who go, oh, let me go download this off this website, bloopity blue, and I'm going to put it on my phone because I saw it on the internet.
Bloopity-bloo.
Well, speaking of the beta.
No.
Speaking of the beta. Version 3 came out earlier this week. I think it was Monday. And that's had some changes. And this is what I thought. As the betas will go, it seems to be every 2 weeks, every fortnight, they just come along and make incremental little changes here and there. But on the whole, it's improving. It's evolving. And people say it's getting better and better who I know who've got
what
it. But they won't.
What do you know? Exactly what you're supposed
exactly.
to do with a beta, right?
Exactly. So
it's working.
And they are listening to people because there's some changes to the fonts. Some of the fonts are now bolder, so they're easier to read. There's grey dots added to the calendar. I don't know why they were missing in the first place, but there you go. There's some larger status bars, so they're easy to see. It's a different app download. And this is what I'm saying. It's a constant flowing, forming OS. And I read story after story that Apple's done this wrong. And I think they haven't finished yet. You can do that when they release it. You can nag as much as you want when it's released officially.
Right.
But you're commenting on something that's not finished. I don't understand. And it doesn't annoy me because I'm not going to lose sleep over it. It just frustrates me.
Can you imagine going to Picasso when he's like halfway through a painting? It's like, that sucks.
That color's wrong. That's the wrong shade. It's
not flat enough.
It's not blue enough.
It's not blue.
Picasso's new painting uses skinny lines, and that's dumb.
He could just turn around and say, you're looking at it wrong.
Maybe. Or he could bludgeon you with a paintbrush, which is also an acceptable option if you're going to be that guy, in my opinion.
It's what Johnny Ive goes through every single day. It's got to be.
Can you imagine what it must be like to be poor old Johnny? I wonder if he's email every day, it must be, well, here's how I would have done this app, this icon. Here's how I would have done this screen. Here's how I would have done this color.
I would never go on the internet if I was Johnny Ive. Like, ever.
This is why he doesn't go on the stage.
They just put him in a video because he's in a little Faraday cage of a room. That's where he lives his life.
All white.
Johnny's world.
Yes.
Johnny's world, yeah.
It's like the Matrix. The little, what are they called? The construct. He lives inside the construct.
That would be 24/7. Awesome. There's an argument to be made for that. I could see that.
Also, Mavericks Beta 3 was pushed out as well. Now, did anyone... See, I'm not particularly knowledgeable on what's being added to the Beta 3 of Mavericks, I've got to say. Anyone know anything that they wish to share?
No, I don't know anything when it comes to Mavericks, actually.
No, it's a bit hard on Mavericks, isn't it?
I've heard that it's been... that things that were rough around the edges are less rough around the edges. I want to say it was like the file tabs or the tagging, something like that. One of those, there was something that was wrong with it before that's gotten better. But so far, that's generally the stuff that I've heard is that it's all around smoother. And like the next beta, for people who don't like to tap dance on the edge, out there on the bleeding edge, like the next beta sounds like it'll be one that people can use day to day effectively. Even if they're not trying to use it to troubleshoot stuff. Kind of what I've heard. It's like settled in.
Maverick seems like it's a little more finished than iOS 7 is at this point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, actually, though, it seems like that we're talking about betas this week and they've improved this and this is slightly done. It sounds like all that Apple's done is gotten out the sandpaper. Now it's a little bit there. It's getting out a little bit there. I have a feeling, though, that come September, I think we're going to be blown away. I'm having this feeling now that they've done this to do what we're doing right now, to sit here and get a discussion going about what needs to change, what their customers want, and is actually working. And you're seeing the feedback every week. You're seeing the little changes here and the little changes here. And I have a feeling when September is going to get here, it's going to be like, holy crap, why the hell did I ever install that beta crap? I really feel that there are good things coming from Apple. It's the first time I've actually felt that in a year. So,
thing is it? This is the first year that I've really noticed this negativity about the beta. I mean, has it always been there? Because it just seems so focal.
No, I think the thing that's happening this year that didn't happen in years past is I think you have again a whole bunch of people who are like willing to pony up $99. To get the beta software, or they're downloading it off, Pirate Bay or something like that. But I think there's even a larger percentage of non-developers just signing up because they saw how cool it was in the WWDC thing and going, I want to try that. And I think there's a lot more non-developers trying it out, which is inherently leads to more people bitching and moaning. But this happens every time. I'm in the iOS developer program, so I can't talk about a lot of this stuff, but I will mention that, over on there's developer forums, it seems like there's a lot of non-developers sort of making comments.
Well, I think part of it, though,
it's obvious
also is
when they do.
The magnitude of change, like from, if you just want to talk about the evolution from during the App Store, when other people were sort of allowed to start developing in the last 5 years, from 3 to 4, and from 4 to 5 and from 5 to 6, there was a certain amount of complaining every time. This is stupid. Folders are dumb, whatever. Every time there was like, there's like one new feature that sort of defines each first digit iOS release, it seems like. And with 7, there are a number of things that have changed. This is like the first dramatic shift
exactly.
in iOS design ever.
Ever.
Yeah, so to every year, you know, going from 5 to 6, which was not dramatic, caused knickers everywhere to twist. Like, honestly, there were so many bunched panties last summer going from 5 to 6. I don't even. But
because I can tell you've been hanging out with us Brits too long, Kelly.
Yeah, but thank God she did throw panties back in there so me and Adam know what the hell she's talking about.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was confused there for a moment.
Yeah, knickers, panties. Okay, got it. Thanks.
There you go. So, like, to go from 5 to 6, like, I remember last year people complaining about it. But I think Adam is absolutely right. I think there are people signing up, and I think that there are people who are obtaining their copy of iOS 7 in some form or another. And, again, not having a clear expectation of what beta 1 actually meant.
Which means it crashes every other minute and you wait
what
for your phone to reboot.
What it means is, in the name of all that's holy, if you have enough sense to come in out of the rain, you should have enough sense not to install this on the phone that you use every day.
Right.
It's called a production device. You don't put it on the thing that you use all the live long day because you can't use it all the live long day anymore. Breaking news. Anyway.
Exactly.
So
exactly. It seems weird to me.
Yeah. It's. I think it's twofold. I think this is like we're at a point of sort of not saturation, but we're at a point where like iOS is really common. And if you go out into the world, like earlier this year, I was at Disneyland. When I was at Disneyland, like like everybody had an iPhone. Like I saw way more iPhones than I did Samsung phones or whatever's, and I could tell because the people who had the Samsung phones had to use two hands when they were holding up their phone to take a picture. And I'm not trying to be snotty about it. That was really what I saw happening. I was like, is that an iPad mini? Oh, no, it's some Samsung thing. So, like, seriously, that was the conversation. And I don't want to, like, I'm really not trying to be, like, dismissive of those. That was really what it was people
That's
using
reality,
two hands to hold their phone steady. So, like, everybody has some kind of smartphone, and most of those smartphones are iPhones. When I go out in places, that's what I see. And so I think there's just a certain number of people that are like, yeah, I saw this ad on Facebook for get iOS 7 and I clicked on it and it's some jerk who's selling his provision spots, and so, you know, somebody went and paid $50 and went, I got the beta for $50 and now nobody can call me because my phone reboots every time it rings.
Well, I'll just give a shout out to Michael O'Hara. He's the one that pointed that zombie story towards me.
So thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. Okay, last story before we move on. So it seems to me there's lots of rumors. There's lots of play going on. And it seems like the end of this year, autumn this year, or fall, to you American chaps and Japesses, that we are going to get, just like last year, a massive onslaught of products. Like last year, we thought they cleaned the deck so they could do various other things. But then they just seem to ignore all their established launch dates. And now all the rumors are starting to point to a new iPad, maybe not a mini, but a full-size iPad, maybe the Mac Pro, new MacBook Pros with the new chip, the Haswell chips inside, all coming. New iPhone coming later this year, probably new iPods as well.
New iPod.
Exactly. They're just going to dump it all on us again just before Christmas.
Called product
marketing. Really annoying.
That's what they're supposed to do.
That's right. No. I mean, I was going to say. No. This is what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to. Now, right now is the time. What is it? July. Get your credit cards caught up, people, because you're gonna get a hole burn in them come, you know, November, December. Yeah.
A couple of years ago, Apple finally figured it out and went, everybody gets presents for Christmas. We should stop announcing crap in January.
No.
I never understood originally why the iPad was so early in the year.
Yeah.
I think this is going to bite them in the butt big time. Because I, for the first time in my life, and I buy every freaking thing with an Apple logo that comes out, right? And I try and justify it by saying I do this podcast, and so I have to, right? It's a good excuse, but let's be honest. I want it.
We all use that excuse.
Right, but here's the problem is, like, literally this year I will not be able to do that because I just can't. I can't afford it. So I am going to have to make a choice. I was talking with somebody else about this probably over this weekend. It's like, I have a third generation iPad. I want a new one. And I was hoping for this next one. But if I have to buy my iPhone at the same time I have to buy that iPad, I'm probably going to opt for the iPhone and not get the iPad. Now, the question is, will I get it 6 months later just naturally? Or am I going to start then waiting for the next thing to come out? I think consumers, Apple consumers, especially the fans, the people who are diehards and buy everything, for the first time are really going to have to think long and hard, can I really afford to, you know, drop $20,000 and get everything that Apple just dumped?
I agree.
And it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I agree. And, you know, what's funny about that, because we've been hearing so much, and this is just a personal opinion of mine, because we've heard about the TV and not the TV and the TV and the not the TV. I don't
still
think we're
clinging
to
that, aren't you, Kyle?
I think I am still clinging to it because I think they are going to do it, but they're not going to do it right now when the economy is basically in the tank. And Adam has a point. I know I'm sitting here going, this is just no way I'm going to be getting myself a new Mac this year. If I the next thing I'll probably get is a new iPad. It's time for an upgrade because I'm sick and tired of the 30 pin. But after that, I don't need another phone for a while. I have my 5. I'm happy with it. Maybe in another year I'll get a phone. Maybe in 2 years I'll get a computer because, you know, let's face it. Yeah, the computers are looking nicer. Yeah, the software is looking good. But, you know, my computer's running just great. And, you know, it's smooth. It does what I need to do, and that's that. And, you know, with the iPad, it's like I've got the third generation 30 pin. Yeah, it's time to get that upgraded. The phone, nah, it's basically brand new to me, even though it's almost a year old. But at least it feels newer. I'm definitely with Adam on that. And, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of people sitting there going, do I get this? Do I get that? Or do I get that? And I think it'll be a good year for Apple as far as products go. But I don't know if it'll be a good year financially for Apple.
Well, long term, I think it's going to affect, you know, that sort of long term, because they're going to get a big hit across the board with all these products. But what they're going to find is that I'm not going to run back in 6 months and go, okay, now I'm going to get the iPad because I have the cash again, because I'm probably not going to really be thinking about it too much. And at that point, I'm going to be going, well, they're going to have the new thing in another 3 to 6 months. So maybe I should just wait and not get this one that's been out for 6 months at this point, now that I have the you know, ability to afford it. Whereas when they trickled that out, it was just sort of like, oh, you know, what I was talking about earlier, new, shiny, get it. Mm-hmm. You know, you forget that 3 months ago, I just dropped, you know, $600 on an iPhone. Yeah. It's like,
till that credit card statement comes in the mail.
but at least it's spread out. It's spread out, right? You know, it's like, oh, I can do another $400. You know, that's not a big deal.
That was 3 weeks ago. What the hell?
You could just get a Mac Pro.
It sounds stupid, but mentally, I mean, you go through that thought process, right? It's still dumb. It's not financially responsible, so don't do it, people. But I will anyway.
You probably could just get a Mac Pro and then not be able to buy anything for about 4 years, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. I can get a Mac Pro or I can get a car.
There's nothing wrong with getting a Mac Pro and then living on ramen noodle soup for the next 3 months. I mean, come on.
At least it'll do your heating for you. Could just put your hands over the top and
that's exactly.
Oh, there you go.
Do your hands.
That's why they release them in the winter.
This is true. Well, we look forward to see what they dump.
Yule log.
Keep in mind that it doesn't all have to be October or whatever either. I mean, one of the things that stuck with me when Tim was talking about the product stuff in the last earnings call, when he said, we have some really exciting stuff to show you in the third quarter of this year and into 2014. Right. Like, I think maybe he does understand that some people are mere mortals and don't have 800 credit scores. And maybe he gets that, like, you can't release everything all at once because otherwise nobody will buy them. And maybe we'll go back to March for the iPads. I don't know. Totally speculating. Let me give my little asterisk here. This is total speculation. If you ever hear me on the Two Watt Talk cast, I run a home for crackpot theories. So, like, maybe they're going to space some stuff out. Like, we got new laptops recently. We got the Mac Pro. So maybe it's going to be a matter of updating a mini and getting a new iPad, and maybe that's not going to happen until January, or maybe they're going to drop something in September and then drop the new phone in October so that people they're going to make them close enough together that they're all on the same thesis statement. I don't know.
This is what following Apple, this is what makes it fun. This guessing.
This is the part that I like. Now, going and reporting it as news is the part that makes me want to hit people. But sitting and going, maybe they'll do this, maybe they'll do that. It would be awesome if they went this way. This is my favorite part.
The last time I had any excitement from another company, it was when Windows 7 was coming up to be launched. And that wasn't really a surprise because we'd like had it for a year leading up to its launch from various forms and stuff. But I remember being quite excited when I got my hands on Windows 7. And that's about it for other companies, unfortunately. Apple always keeps me intrigued, always keeps turning over new things. I can't always afford everything, but I still like the way they present stuff and they keep us guys on our toes. It's terrible, really. This show and all the other shows on the network would not be possible without our wonderful sponsors, UK2.net. They really do keep all the tech coming, flooding into your ears from our little cave that Ewan sits in every Friday normally and pumps out, except today. If you want to show your
today's in a jail cell.
We're not meant to say that, Kyle.
It's a different cave. He's just in a different cave, Kyle. We talked about this.
Sorry.
If you want to show your support for us by giving them some support, it'll be wonderful if you could just go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, hit the UK2.net link, and go and shop for all the wonderful services that they have to offer. And once you see their prices, you can say, oh, no, I want it a bit less than that, please. So you go back to our site and hit the sponsors link, and you'll find there are loads of different codes for all the various services that they offer. Now, based on all the stuff that's going on with Prism and Snowden at the moment, maybe the VPN option might be the way to go, and it's 50% off on your first month at the moment if you purchase a VPN. Hey. Not that I'm suggesting anything, you know. They really do show your support because they really do keep us going.
Yeah, not to mention Apple's not doing it like they do for those, you know, slubby developers, get their bandwidth for free.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so cool things. Let's start off with you, Adam.
All right, I'm actually doing a pick that came about through my What the App Is That segment. Scott Johnson, the guy who runs Nerdtacular, I was cruising his phone, and I had actually run across this app before. It's a game called Ridiculous Fishing. Hopefully no one's picked it before, but it's this incredibly simple. The concept's really, really simple. Visually, it's amazing. It's sort of this vector. It feels retro, but it's high-res graphics because it's all these vector shapes. But in essence, you're this little guy. You're sitting in your fishing boat. You drop a line in the water. You use the accelerometer, the sensors in the phone to drop the line past the fish as far and as deep as you possibly can. So you avoid them on the way down. And then once you run into a fish with your hook, it'll hook that fish, and then the line starts coming back up. And on the way back up, you motion the phone back and forth to try and grab as many fish as you can on the way back up. When they get to the surface of the water, then the real fun begins because they get flipped up in the air, and then you get to use your weapons to blow the fish away and score points. And points, money, is what it actually ends up being. And then you can use money in their store to upgrade your fishing line, get a longer line, get better clothes, get better weapons, Uzis, guns, dynamite, what have you. Yeah, it is.
The usual fishing paraphernalia, basically.
Exactly. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous and fun. And you have to, different fish are worth different points, and then you unlock different locations. The cool thing is I'm saying unlock and buying stuff in the store. Guess what? It's not in-app purchase junk. You don't have to go buy, you don't have the option to buy more money for real money. You pay, I think, $2.99 for the game, and you just play it, and you have a really good time. And it's cool because it's really casual. You can just, pull it out in line as you're waiting on queue. That's what you guys say, right? In the queue?
Yeah. We queue, yes.
And, and you just play a couple minutes and put it away, and it's just addictingly fun, and it's beautiful. I mean, visually, it's got a really, really cool look to it, which I always appreciate, and I really am not a huge fan of the whole freemium in-app purchase model. I'd rather just buy something outright and just enjoy it. And the other cool thing is that the reason I initially found out about it is my iOS development group It uses something called Open Framework, which was a development framework for iOS and Android and what have you. It was originally developed for like performance artists, I guess, but has been adapted into all kinds of things on iOS. So a lot of cool people are using that framework. And we actually had the guy who was presenting it to us was a former high school music teacher turned app developer, and he was using the framework, not for this game, for his own stuff, but this one's built on the same platform. So cool little tech angle behind it, too. So lots of reasons to pick this one up. Yeah,
they should call it the ridiculous redneck fishing, though. It looks cool, though. I mean, yeah, that's $3 has gone this weekend.
It's really fun, yeah. And I should always – I always forget I need to look up the UK pricing for you guys because I always forget to do that. So sorry. Next time.
That's okay. Kelly.
It's $2.99 US, by the way, for those who are
– Yeah.
That'll be about $159.69 for us, I think.
Cool. So I am going to do like I did on the big show yesterday, and I'm going to have two picks. My first pick is App Camp for Girls because we're not done raising $100,000. And you totally should go check it out because it gives us a chance to basically what we're doing is we're building iOS developers for the future, but they're girls. And that's going to be awesome because it's a whole other brain set to be a girl, and especially a girl who is a nerd. And so we're using App Camp to give junior high aged girls, middle school girls, an opportunity to spend a little time with iOS programming and see what they think of it. And it's so far it's been awesome. We had beta camp. 1.0 camp is going to happen next month in August. And the reason that we're setting up with $100,000 is so that we can build app camps in other cities and in other countries. So there absolutely will be an App Camp UK. I can't say when. We haven't determined that yet. But there's going to be one, and it's going to be awesome. And all of it is great. And so you guys should go to appcamp4girls.com. And you can find a link there to our Indiegogo campaign. And if you don't want to donate to Indiegogo, you can contact us through the site and figure out a different way to donate to us if you want to. And that would be awesome.
I'm glad you reminded me. I've got to go and put $10 on that because I was going to do it last night when you was on the big show and I got sidetracked, unfortunately. Just reminded me I've got to do that still.
Yeah, it's called it's called hosting, by the way, Carl. It's called hosting. Okay.
Yeah, it will. It can give you a problem. So my other pick, my app pick for this week is I'm going to pick this program, this game that I got from Dave Chartier. And the reason that I'm going to pick it is because it's super adorable. It's called Coolsons. And it's a word game. And it involves you work in a factory for penguins. There's a penguin on a hovercraft. The line art is, like, so cute. And I just realized that I picked this and it's not the pick that I put in the store. You should totally check out. Search for Coolsons in the App Store. It involves chocolates and penguins and it's awesome. My real pick is Happy Street, which is an awesome little game. It's sort of a Farmville civilization sort of game where you build things and you craft stuff. And I started playing it and found out that Peter Cohen plays it almost compulsively. And he actually wrote it up on iMore not too long ago with a headline that "My Secret Shame, I Can't Stop Playing Happy Street." It's a super cute game. The animation is adorable and it's a lot of fun. You know, you go and get your characters to build little things and you get different little buildings that you get to put on your street. I know Adam has repicked it up recently, at least according to my...
She's stalking you, Adam.
Well, no, he's my friend in the game.
I got hit by Peter in Game Center, yes. And so
he shows up as one of the friends that I can visit. You can visit other people's streets and help them with stuff. And you get to build little buildings. There's like a karaoke bar and there's a dojo and a sushi restaurant and a sunglasses place. Like there's all these little stores and different things. Super cute, super fun. And it's another sort of get in line. Like while you're in line, you can play. So like if you're standing on queue at the grocery store and you don't feel like blowing up fish from Adam's pick, you can use this one. And the other thing that I will say is this is another one that does really well with in-app purchases.
Yeah,
you can do
bad.
It if you want to, but you can still accomplish and you can still do and you can still progress without buying anything. Like, I have bought nothing. I have spent zero physical dollars on this game. And I'm still, like, I'm getting things, I'm getting stuff upgraded, and it's still working really well.
Okay. Kyle, you're up. I see you spotted picked a really, you know...
Did what?
What I'm saying. Yes!
His pick is not
Skype.
No, it isn't.
Spoilers!
If there was going to be one app I was going to take off my phone, it would be Skype. But unfortunately, I use it, so I can't. So now, my pick is actually, it's very, very cool. It's called Motion Tennis. It is a little pricey. It's $7.99, so you might want to wait till payday.
I can't believe you bought a $7.99 game.
Oh my gosh,
I can't either.
Hang on.
Guess when my
hell hasn't frozen over. I just had to check there for a second.
And I guess
burnt toast.
Yes, I do. It's my wife. She just found out I spent $8. And the thing about this game is. I guess, I don't know, the Wimbledon thing inspired me. Maybe I wanted to have my own tennis because Wimbledon kind of sucked this year, didn't it? And
no.
Yeah, it did. Oh, yeah, I know Murray won and all that. Happy, happy Brits. I know, sorry. I was going for Djokovic. Anyways.
Let me just point out that he was not the first Brit to win Wimbledon because ladies are people too. 1977. Look it up. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, yeah, Virginia Wade.
Uh-huh. But people are going, the first British person to win Wimbledon. No.
Oh, that's because we've got short memories and stuff.
It's the same people that are saying, beta sucks. anyways, what it is, if you're familiar with Wii and you like tennis, which
Pardon?
I do like tennis. If you're familiar with Wii, the Wii.
Nintendo
Wii.
Yeah, Nintendo
Wii. Oh, sorry.
Or the French, Wii. You'll love this game, and there's no lag. You have to have an Apple TV, of course, to do this, and you AirPlay it from the phone. The phone, your iPhone, acts as a controller, like a Wii controller would, and you can play against people. You can play doubles. It is really, really, really cool. It was worth the $8. There's no lag whatsoever. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to spend $8, and I'm going to hit the ball, and then I'm finally going to see the ball 5 minutes later go. No, there's no lag. It is, like I said, it is pricey, though. I don't know if it's quite worth $8. I think they should bring the price down to maybe $4.99. I think they'd sell a few more.
For me, it would be like $3,000 because I'd throw my phone through my LCD TV.
Exactly. That's another thing I was going to say. I suggest
Kyle's
that you wear...
bonus pick is a wrist strap for your phone.
That's right.
Next
or
week.
Rubber gloves.
Personal choice, dude.
Send your warranty repair request to
Kyle. Looks forward to your letters.
Yes. No. Please pass those on to RoloCube Games Private Limited. They're the ones that actually make this game and probably have caused you to damage your LCD screen.
And your phone.
That's
so good.
But anyway, if you can hold on to your phone and not sweat on it, and it is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed
awesome. It looks awesome.
Well, my app is a free app. Which you're like, Kyle, there you go. It's called Photo 4. And what it is an album for all your photos. And it kind of looks like how photos look in iOS 7. In other words, it's the white background and they're all laid out by dates or locations. You can go in, blow them up, edit them quickly, send them off to other apps and share them with the world. And it's very, very good. I mean, I put this pick as a people's pick on the My Mac podcast with Guy and Gazmaz. And it went down quite well, and it's a free app, and I got a Wootie for it, even though Guy spelt my name wrong on my Wootie, but we won't go into that. and it's a wonderful free app, and if you want to see what iOS 7 Photos is going to look like without putting beta onto your phone, this is the app to go and grab. It's very good, and it's free. Right.
Free.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And
no,
so,
you can't.
It's the final thing. And then you can all go away on your Fridays and escape me and drink and eat and be merry and whatnot.
Hey, it's 15 minutes till Saturday here, so I'm going to go to bed.
Yes. Oh, okay, fair enough. So, Adam, where can we get hold of you, sir?
You can find me over at the MacCast at maccast.com, also MacCast on iTunes. And I also do a couple other shows I probably should mention because I always forget to. We have Communicators Podcast, which is an iOS podcast I do with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet, who's on the Big Show, I think, quite frequently.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he's everywhere. So check that out at whcpodcast.com. And also, I started this thing called the Mac Roundtable, which is a show with a bunch of different Mac podcasters. And you should check that out at macroundtable.com.
Excellent. Kelly.
You cannot find me on macroundtable.com. Hint, hint.
Oh.
Then, you know what? You don't find me on macroundtable.com either, just for the record. Like, it was a great idea at the time, but, you know, scheduling that many people, like, you guys know. I mean, doing shows where you have to schedule people, it's like crazy.
Get fair, though, Adam. It is a round table.
It is a round table.
So you're supposed to be a lot of people around the table, right?
We try and get together. I was just looking. I don't think they've done a show in about a month, but it's great when they do. They are very active shows.
It's great every year.
Yeah. Hey, it's a non-committal podcast. Throw it in your feed. Occasionally an episode will show up. It's great.
So you can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, V-E-R-S-O. You can also find me hosting the Tuwa Talk Cast on Sunday nights over at TUAW, the unofficial Apple weblog. And I am officially an Angry Mac Bastards host now.
Potty mouth.
Yeah, listen to Kelly swear on the internet. It's great. And you can also find me on this very network, occasionally on The Big Show. You can find me there this week. And you can also find me as a host of the BTN Comic Podcast, which is tons of fun, which we do with the ever-present Gamut. And Dr. Happy Mac. And it's super, super fun. And you guys should totally check
it out. And Paul Cacao as well.
Yep. Kirkley, yeah.
And Kyle.
You can just find me at Twitter, Kyle Swagger, at Kyle Swagger. That's 1G only, of course, for Swagger. Or at kyleswagger.com.
You can find him anywhere but Skype.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Claw0101 or in our Google communities. And we've got communities for all the various shows. So just come along, join the communities. They're open. Come and join the conversations. And be involved. It's fantastic stuff. Well, I'd just like to thank you all for coming and helping me host the show today. It's been wonderful. I've enjoyed myself. Hope you have as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yosh. Oh, yeah.
It's great. Just keep you and locked up. It's fine with me.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we won't send the lawyer in then, shall we?
No, but it is beer time for him. I can hear him rattling in his cage back there.
Now, hopefully he will be out for next week, so he'll be back to normal next week. But until then, everyone stay safe. And happy with your Macs. Cheerio.
And rock on. Rock on.